Lord, bless these thoughts and all that will happen during our service tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. There are three people that come to my mind in relationship to blessing by association. Because blessing by association, it's real. It works. We see it in our lives. You know, we could apply for a job, and we could say to the potential employer, listen, I may not know a lot about your business. I might not even be able to fit all the criteria that you've asked for, you know, the kind of person you're looking for. But you can almost say, but if you hire me, your company will be blessed. How about that? I mean, I think just the sheer shock of what you say would make them think, oh, okay. Right? But I'm first thinking about the Old Testament character, Ruth. You remember her story. She's a Moabitess. And she married into a family. And I don't think that she knew when she married into this family how much tragedy there was going to be. Because her mother-in-law, well, her father-in-law, he died, Elimelech. And then Ruth married one of their sons, and he dies. And then Orpah, she marries another son, and he dies. It's like, you know, you're looking at that story, and you're thinking, is this what you call blessing by association? You marry into the family, and everybody dies? But then finally, Naomi, her mother-in-law, she said, listen, there was a famine in the land that drove us here to Moab in the first place. But now I'm going back. This has been, you know, this has been just a disaster, no matter how you look at it, no matter what angle you look at it from. I'm going back. That's when Ruth spoke up and said to her, you know what, Naomi? I'm going with you. And she said, why? I can't give you another son. I'm not going to have any more children. Why don't you just go home? Why don't you just stay here? And I think that there was something that Ruth understood about Naomi, about her God. Because they must have spoken about their God. They must have spoken about their faith. Clearly, it influenced her. And finally, when she was being persuaded or attempted to be persuaded to go back to her own country, Ruth said to her, listen, entreat me not to leave you or to return from following after you. For where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. My people, your people shall be my people, and my God, or thy God, my God. Now, you know, it's like she understood blessing by association. She understood the value of being in close proximity to someone who knew God. Even though, again, all of that tragedy had struck, even though all of that difficulty existed, still she could see beyond that with a discerning spirit that said, you know what? This woman's God, I don't want to be around anybody else but her. And you know, they went back. They went back. And of all places, you know where they landed? You know where they ended up? In Bethlehem. And I think that that's beautiful. Because she would not be the first one that would land in Bethlehem that would be a blessing to the world. There would be another, even Jesus. And then we read about Ruth. Where do we read about her in the New Testament? In the genealogy of Jesus. Wow. She knew something. She understood, if you will, blessing by association, just like we do. I mean, there's just people that, you know, when you ever think of someone and you just think to yourself, wow, I'm just so glad that I'm in a close relationship with them. People come to our minds. I think of Pastor Sturge Gorham, and I think, wow, I'm so blessed that I get to be with Pastor Sturge Gorham. I get to hang around with them. I get to borrow money from them. I get to spend time. I mean, say, I'm so grateful, right? Jerry Robears. I get to be around Jerry Robears. Can you imagine that? I mean, he is amazing. He is a servant. He is available. He loves God. He loves the body. He loves his family. He lets little children sit on his lap during service. I mean, that's amazing, right? We could just go right down the list all the way. I mean, it's incredible. Dave Gertel, my good friend here, when I was in Bible college, he was at the Avalon School in Lenox. And I think he understood something about the Bible college, about the ministry all those years ago. You know what it was? That if you be around them, you get blessed. And here it is. He moved back to Maryland in this area, and he's at all of our services all the time. I think he knows about blessing by association. Yeah, Ruth, she got it. And then there's another character I think of. His name is Mephibosheth. Talk about blessing by association, right? Amazing. You know, I could imagine, here's Mephibosheth. You know, David has sought him out. He shows him this undeserved kindness, which is just a beautiful picture of undeserving grace, which we've all received. And there's Mephibosheth, crippled, lame on both feet, living in the palace, pulling up a chair at every meal to David's table. And I could just see Mephibosheth one day just emailing to all of his friends and then emailing back and just telling them, listen, I live in the palace now. And David, the king, he's adopted me. I'm like one of his. And they email him back, how did this happen? He says, I don't know. I just know David. David knows me. It's blessing by association. And he sits at the king's table and he eats at his table and he is treated like one of his own sons. Did he deserve to be there? No. Was there any merit on his part that earned him that spot at the table in that palace? Absolutely not. It was because David sought him out. And that, you know, leads us to that third individual in the Bible. And who's that? It's Jesus. Why are we blessed? Because of our association with him. And I love the fact that he said this in John chapter 15. He reminds us in the 16th verse, he says, remember something. You did not choose me. I chose you. And when we think of Ruth, we think of Ruth choosing to follow Naomi, choosing to lodge where she lodges and to be where she goes and to live in her land and to follow her God. She chose that. And what did she do? The Bible says that she clung to Naomi. She wrapped herself around her and said, I'm not going anywhere without you. Well, you know what? With Jesus and you and I, it's a little bit different. We didn't do that. We didn't find him and say, I'm not going anywhere without you. You know what he did? He came and found us. And he wrapped his arms around us and said, I'm not going anywhere without you. So it's not that we have to cling to him. It's that he has clinged to us. I am so grateful tonight that my faith and your faith is not dependent upon our feeble hold on Jesus. But rather, it's totally dependent upon his firm grip on each one of us. And what does he say? I'm not going to let you go. I'm never going to leave you or forsake you. I'm going to give unto you eternal life, and you're never going to perish. And even if you have periods of time in your life that are characterized by unbelief, I want you to know something. Even if you live in unbelief, I will abide faithful. When I make a commitment, I keep it. I am not a man that I should lie. I'm not the son of man that I could repent. But I'm going to keep a promise. I'm going to make that promise, keep that promise, back that promise up with my nature. And I don't think that blessing by association gets any better or any closer than when God says, it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And as a result of that relationship that we have with Christ, you talk about blessings. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, how about this? I've given you all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We've got it all. Maybe we haven't tapped into it all. Maybe we haven't appropriated all of those blessings, but they are there, and our lives are just simply the unfolding of our understanding of all of God's blessings that we have because we're in Christ. And the best news that the Bible teaches is that once you get in, you can't get out. Once you're in Christ, you are in him forever. I read that in the Bible everywhere, that phrase, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. I never read a phrase that says you can get out of Christ. Once you're in, you can't get out. That is a blessing. God has a grip on every single one of us. Thank God for blessing by association. Thank God that we are in a ministry like this and we're so blessed. Thank God that we can go to work. And maybe our employers don't know it, but they're blessed because you're there. I mean, I think the only place that might not experience this blessing is when Pastor Cooper and I go up with the Knicks. Nothing good happens up there. They never win a game. I don't know what's going on. We're going to work on it. We're going to change that. We're going to believe that somehow there'll be blessing by association before Pastor Cooper and I pass away. Father, bless these thoughts in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, move just for a minute, move around a little bit. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Yes, Lord. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Yeah, ready to go. Here we go. Praise God. Yeah. All right, you may be seated. Turn to Acts 27. Just a few minutes on blessing by association. I think the Spirit can teach us something on the subject and refreshing our mind in it, because we said this morning, the family that Adam and Eve had, their first earthly family, and the two boys, Cain and Abel. And it is vacation or holiday time, and holidays is family time. And the earthly family that we have, not everybody has a lot of peace, a lot of unity, a lot of love, a lot of forgiveness in their family. Sometimes family is divided. Jesus said that in Matthew 10. The daughter against the mother, the son against the father. And then in Proverbs, we read about the family which has a foolish son, and the grief it is for the mother, and the pain that happens when this happens in life. Jesus had 12 disciples, and one of them was a demon. It seems that God is saying to us that this happens, that the earthly family isn't always a paradise. When sin came into the world, we lost the paradise, and in some way, we lost marriage and what marriage could be. And we lost a family, what a family could be. The one son murdering the other son is a heartache that's beyond what many of us have ever experienced. But we recognize it. And in life this way, we look for the family that God has. That Jesus said, who is my mother and my brother and my sisters, but they that hear the word of God and keep it. When we hear the word of God and we keep it, there's something that happens in our lives. We are born again, and the Spirit of God dwells in us, and we become a blessing. And often we are associated with somebody who brings us the gospel. Many of our missionaries that are out there today are doing that. They are ordained of God to bring a gospel to India, China. Nick living in China and the family, and Pastor Mike going. Tuesday, was it? Pastor Mike leaves the family here. Doesn't really leave them, but he goes back to China for 1 month or two or three or four. How long is it the longest you've been without the family? 4 months. Tough. But he has something going on in his life and in the family where they say, this is priority. This is important. It reminds me of 2 Samuel 7, 2. If you jot that down later to read it, David said, how can I live in a house of cedar when God lives in a house of curtains? Beautiful verse. How can I live in a house of cedar when God is in a house of curtains? That's the downgrade. And if you ever want to have a mission in your life and you ever want to think about doing something and being part of something that's big, then think of that verse, that God is in a house of curtains, and David's saying, I'm going to change that. I'm going to build God a house. I'm going to collect the stuff, and I'm going to build it. And Nathan said, do all that is in your heart. That night, God said to Nathan, tell David he's a man of blood, and he cannot build my house. And David said, fine with me. That's fine with me. My son can build the house, but I'm not giving up on it. Beautiful story. So these dear folks that are sent by God, and then the blessing that comes by associating with those people. I remember in Azerbaijan, some of the missionaries went, and then the businessman got some computers, and he started a little computer school. Just to teach the people in Azerbaijan computers. Blessed. They were blessed by association. I remember the shoe boxes from goods, the Samaritan's purse that went to Uzbekistan. And these little shoe boxes, you know, for kids with scissors and paper and clips and tape and stuff and socks. And then giving them out in Uzbekistan. Blessing. By association. I know that some of our people have gotten married in international marriages, all kinds of Russians and Americans and Finns and Americans and Polish and so on. And I hope they would say blessing by association, but I can't guarantee you. Okay. There is something that God does when you are a godly person. When you're a godly person, there's something that you can give and something that you bring, that you are a blessing. And when people are receiving that, Jesus said they receive a prophet's reward. They receive a righteous man's reward. There's something that happens in their life. And here is a short story, Acts 27. They're on the boat, a ship with 276 people. It's a big boat. Let's see, how big would that be? 276 people. Wow. I wonder how long that boat was. As long as this room, probably this way. And 276 people, prisoners and soldiers, and the owner of the boat was on there. Everybody. There was a lot of people on that boat. And there's a lot of fear because of the storm. And Paul saw an angel that night and gave a prophecy. And the storm kept coming and going. And then this is what happened, 42. The soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose. Can't kill them because Paul is in this group. Paul is here. And we can't kill Paul. I like Paul. We cannot kill him. He's been talking from the beginning. He told us this would be happening. He prophesied it. And so all those men, when the ship fell to pieces and they floated in on the boards and they swam into shore, every one of them survived. And just as God had said to Paul, and this really happened. There are so many examples. Timothy, how about you? What happened in your life? I heard Paul. I followed him around. I traveled with him. I became a pastor. I got a blessing. I can't explain it to you. I just know that my life was blessed because I was associated with him, this man. Moses said to God, God, if I can't go into the promised land, you got to ordain somebody to lead the group in Numbers 27. And God showed Moses Joshua. And then it says, God said to Moses, put some of your honor on Joshua. And he did. And Joshua was the one that was ordained of God to bring the Jews into the promised land. When Barak wanted Balaam to curse the Jewish people, Balaam said, okay, I'll do best I can, but the Spirit wouldn't let Balaam curse. And the Jews had been in the book of Numbers, chapter 10, 11, 12, 13. The Jews had been rebellious and disobedient. And then Balaam said, God has not seen iniquity in Jacob. And what God has cursed, what God has blessed, I cannot curse. And that beautiful portion in Numbers 23 and verse 19. Remember, Peter was fishing in Luke chapter 5. Jesus was walking along the Sea of Galilee. Peter had been fishing all night. Throw your net on the right side. He did it. I've been fishing all night and caught nothing, but nevertheless at your word, he did it. His life was changed. I do not know how much authority we have in our lives, but I know we have it. I do not know what it means for people to be associated with us, but I know that there is such a thing as blessing by association. There is a family on the earth that's called the family of God. Those that hear the word of God and do it, those people have something, and they have been sent into a dark world, a demonic world, where there's a lot of trouble, a lot of pain, and a lot of confusion, and a lot of bad stuff happens. It happens anyway, as we see it with Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel. But we also see that there's something that goes beyond our sin, that God does not, how does it go? In Psalm 130, verse 4, if he would regard our sin, how does it go? Help me. If he marked iniquities, who could stand? We wouldn't even be here tonight. But he is not marking our iniquities. He is giving us greater grace. He is saying, I have a family, and I need a blessed family on the earth so that when they are in Egypt, I can show the Egyptians who I am. And by the way, he said, when you leave Egypt, not even a dog will wag its tongue in Exodus chapter 10. And then some Egyptians, they were smart enough to know, I'm going with the Jews. I'm going with the Jews. It's called a mixed multitude. The Jews left Egypt, and a mixed group of people from Egypt jumped in there and said, hey, I'm going with them. There's something about them. They got light in Goshen. They got a blessing in their house. There's not any frogs in their houses. There's no lice and flies. The blood doesn't turn, the river doesn't turn bloody red where they are living. There's something about the Jew. What is it about the Jew? It's that God is with the Jew. Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And Jesus comes. You know, the Jews were under curses because of their sins. And they had a hard time. Amos, Joel, Micah, the prophets saying, Jeremiah, Isaiah, warning them. But even in those warnings, God would say, his heart broken, I wish you knew what I have for you. Luke 19:41, Jesus looking at the Jew, looking at Jerusalem and weeping and saying, if you only knew the peace that I have for you. But even so, the Messiah came through David. Even so, the Messiah was a Jew. Even so, that Jew and the seed of David became the Savior of the world and is the source of our present status, our blessing. Psalm 133, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. For there the oil is going down upon the beard, down to the bottom of the skirts, like the dew on Mount Hermon. For there God has commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. I don't know. I just believe in it. I believe in it because Ephesians 4:16 to 18 teaches it, that we are fitly framed together, that we're increasing in the increase of God. I believe it because somehow I find it in life that there's something about getting up in the morning with you folks in my life. There's something about getting up in the morning and saying, I dwell in a house of cedar and God is in a house of curtains and I'd like to change that. In other words, in our language, only some of the world have churches. Some of the people of the world have the gospel. Let's change that. Let's bring Christ to the mountains of the Himalayas, the deserts of Tibet, the steppes of Tibet, the steppes of Russia and Siberia. Let's bring the gospel into the highways and byways. Let's bring Christ to the peoples of the world. Let's get a huge, big view of what it is that we're called to do, and then let's do it. Amazing. Let's do it. Let's be the doers of the word. Let's get off our couch and do it. Let's go to the prayer meeting and do it. Let's have fervent prayers. I have something going on in my heart that Matthew shared with me this afternoon. He said, you know, our prayers don't have to be long, but very serious and very intense. And I thought, that's a word for me. I like to hear that. I want to have very intense prayers of faith and get answers. Because we are associated with each other, there's a blessing by this association. I don't know what it is. Maybe we'll live 20 years longer than we would otherwise. Maybe we'll be 300% happier than we would be otherwise. Maybe we'll be 2 times richer than we would be otherwise. Maybe we'll be winning souls and bringing them into heaven than we would do otherwise. Where would you be if you had just people going nowhere that you are associated with the carnal mind, with the down and outers, the people that are discouraged and depressed and unhappy, complaining and empty and hurting people whom we love and care about. But we say also, by the grace of God, you're in a new family. You're in a family, and God is our Father. And we are His children, and these are His promises. Some of you know the younger folks, you hear us talk about Lenox, and we have a very warm place in our heart. And Pastor Stevens, like, we had some closing meetings up there in Lenox, and Pastor Stevens flew down here to Baltimore, and this became his home. And he was shocked. He honestly was. I was with him in those days, in those months and years. Pastor Love and I, we were on Baltimore television when we first came down here. And it was an interesting time. But anyway, what did I want to say about that? He was shocked. He was surprised. They had 800 families would pack up and sell their homes and their businesses and leave the area and move to Baltimore. How many did it? Like here we are. You know, we did. We had in our house, in our family, we had our car going down with the Normans and our family, and Bethany had a little hamster in the back seat, and the hamster didn't make it. First fatality in our move. The hamster just didn't make it. We didn't realize it was cooking in the back window of the car. Let's have a moment of silence right now. Blessing by association. Blessing by association. I'm saying our life took a turn. We were happy and contented and satisfied with the tall, towering pines in Berkshire County. Or was it Berkshire Mountains, Hills? But a lot of us didn't give a snap about those trees. We just had something going on. There was something moving, something going on in our hearts. Faith, love, commitment, truth, the ministry, words, vision, countries, missionaries, prayer meetings. There's something going on in our faith, and it hasn't stopped. And here we've been here more than 30 years in Baltimore, and we are thinking in terms of, you know how we think. We're not much, but we're associated with the living God, the God of the universe. One day we'll see him. And as you get older, you know you got nothing going on. You got nothing. As you get older, you say you did nothing, you are nothing, you don't have anything. I'm not kidding. Anything we got is from our Heavenly Father. Amen. If we got anything that makes any sense, it can't come from him. I think I've said two original things in my whole life, and I forgot what they are. I haven't said anything original, and I thank God for that. I'm not here to say something original. I'm here to say something that's so precious from this book that comes from the Holy Spirit of God, from our Heavenly Father who loves us and cares about us. Wow, that's amazing. And I've seen the many gifts in the body that have operated through the years and the decades that are just saying faithful people like Bruce and Sue May have so many names could be given. Precious, precious people. And I just say in closing, I feel without any doubt, because we are associated with the Son of God, that is our greatest honor. Sometimes I joke with people at counters, airplane counters, Dunkin' Donuts and everything. And I lean into the Dunkin'. I go, let me ask you a question. Who's the most famous person you've ever met? In Chicago, I did this. It was the most interesting story. And they go, Michael Jordan. I go, oh, no. The most famous person. And they go, who are you? Who are you? I go, that's for you to find out. And walk away. You know what? I don't know about Michael Jordan. May God bless him. I don't know him at all. I know he's an amazing basketball, was an amazing basketball player and everything. And may God bless him in every way. And I pray God would he would be associated with the person that you are associated with. Guys, if you've got him, if you've got Christ, we got something. We got something. And if we don't have them, then we don't have anything. But if we got them, we got something going on. We have all kinds of potential. We have got amazing connection. We have fervent prayer. We have an amazing love. In our troubled family, Adam and Eve and Abel and Cain, and Abel's gone to be with the Lord, and Cain went out to build a city. And our troubled family, they may not have even a shot at it unless we are connected with that family. When we're connected with that family, then we have something to bring home and to love and to forgive and care and pray and believe and build and care, because Jesus cares for them. And that's what we want to say. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? I got to tell you this funny story before we pray. Phil told it to me. I mean, I remembered it with Bethany. Bethany was like 8 years old or something, or what? So our whole family, we moved down here from Lenox, and we had no place safe, so we moved into the Canino house. Remember that on Putty Hill, off of Putty Hill? The Canino house. So the phone was ringing, and I was in a measure of a leadership role at the transition. I was involved in that, and people were calling me and everything. The phone rang, and I remember we were sleeping on the floor, but Bethany is 8 years old or something, and she got up and answered the phone. And she goes, yes. And after a few minutes, she's talking with the person on the phone. And then we said, Beth, who is that? And Phil?
It was Pastor somebody that will remain nameless at this point. He just wants to know what to do with the rest of his life.
Okay, so this is what happened. Yeah. Beth, who was that on the phone? Oh, it was Pastor so-and-so. We don't want to say the name. He just wanted to know what to do with the rest of his life. Okay, so pray with me now, would you? Okay. If you want to be associated with Jesus Christ, then it's simple. He is inviting you to open the door of your heart and ask him in. He wants you. He died for you. He was raised from the dead for you. He wants you in the family. Please say yes to him tonight. Yes, I believe. It's your decision. It's your decision. It's his invitation, and it's you saying yes. So please say yes in your heart. And then, for the sake of our ushers and helping you in the faith, encouraging you, just raise your hand. Anyone at all, I'll just hand you a booklet and give you a word of encouragement. Anybody at all, say yes to Jesus. On the internet, please do that. Say yes to Jesus. Yes to Jesus. Believe in him. And then to us here tonight, we thank you for the fact that we have lived long enough to see it and feel it and sense it. Our lives, we, though imperfect, we have an amazing, incredible blessing of wisdom, of love, of faith. We have been blessed of ministry, of vision, of opportunity, of friends, and of family. We have been blessed. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.